Good morning, everybody. We're going to show the community soup kitchen that we work at. We're going to show all these big grown-ups what we do down there. So you guys might need to give me a little bit of help, okay? Once a month, there's a whole bunch of people. This is going to be, come November, it's 12 years we've been doing this. So we go down to a church in Beaver Falls and we cook them lunch, cook them supper. So all day long we do things like that. So we're going to show them how much we use in food the whole year long, okay? So the first thing we have, do you want to come up here? Stand up. Open up the bag. We get a bag ready. So you can open up and you'll hold that while we're working at this. So go ahead. In 1 year's time, you can read what we do. Stop. 2,000 bags a year we have to have, okay? So in those bags, hold that up. One more roll. We use 2,400 containers. We average about 200 meals a month when we're down there. So we serve it in within 1 hour. So we do a pretty good job. So hold that up, in the container, next round. The next time, in 1 year's time, we use 750 pounds of meatloaf. And we put a piece of meatloaf in the container, along with the next one. What's that next word? What's that say? Mashed potatoes. We've used around 840 pounds of mashed potatoes a year. And on top of the meatloaf and the mashed potatoes, what do we put on it? Gravy. 60 gallons of gravy we use in a year's time. So also, we keep on going. What's next, kids? What's it say? Corn. We put corn in the container that she's holding. 540 pounds of corn. And next. We put in containers of applesauce. We do 540 pounds of applesauce. So close up your container and put it in the bag. We filled up the bag. We'll put it in the bag. There you go. Here, do you want to let him put the applesauce in? Put that in the bag. Put this in the bag. Hold the bag open for everybody. So in the bag we put, okay, now she can hold it back. Then we put in the applesauce. You want to put the applesauce in? Okay, what's next? Cookies. You want to put cookies in the bag? We have, now I'm going to say women because I'm not sure if any men has made us cookies, but if you have, I'm sorry. We have volunteers from the church every month that make homemade cookies and send them to us, and we take them down to the kitchen with us. So we put cookies in the bag. Next, they always get silverware. We use 360 dozen cookies. You want to put the silverware in the bag? We use 2,400 packages of that. And last but not least, water. 2,400 bottles of water. So you can see what we do within the year's time. And we have such pleasure doing that with the people that we meet down there. We have so many different varieties of people that come. They come to the door, we give them out a bag of food. Since COVID, we're not having been able to go back into the kitchen. It just works that way because we have so many people that need the food. Also, while we're there, there's a pantry of tables of dry goods. Tons of Sunday school classes here, whatever individuals, they've donated goods to that. We have sometimes people donate a little bit of clothing, so we put the clothing down there. And people from our church give us monetary donations, and we're so thankful for that. So if in the last 12 years you've done something for Soup Kitchen, I want you to raise your hand. See the people that's helped? Give them a round of applause, everybody. So we're very grateful for that. Right now we're headed up by Megan and Brent Tritt. We have a great time when we go down there. And we have different groups come every time. Some of us have been there a long time. Some of us are new. We do get Geneva College kids come in, and they help us package and deliver it out. So it's just such an a privilege for us to serve the community of Beaver Falls. It's a very deprived area down there. There's lots of things that aren't there that people need, especially the food services. So we're thankful for this church that we can go and do that. And I thank everybody here that has donated to our cause. Thank you.
I'm going to invite Tanya Pettner to come up and share in our first scripture. Oh, okay. I will share our first scripture. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Great.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brady Hess, and I'm going to be doing the Carpenter's Project out of Elwood City. So the other day, someone asked me, we all have T-shirts that we wear. Every year, there's different colors, different brands, and everything. Well, on the back of the T-shirt, we have different symbols. We have a hammer, we have a paintbrush, we have tools, we have everything. So someone asked, what does that T-shirt represent? Well, it's a volunteer project that has been going on for 24 years in the Elwood City area who benefit and help residents that cannot do jobs themselves. That involves ramps, porches, railings, steps, painting the brush, painting the house, painting the garage, brush crew removal, anything you can think of that will help elders and everyone, we pretty much do. This year, we had a big work week in end of July. We had 21 churches in the Elwood City area who came out and had 160 volunteers. Half of those volunteers are on the work sites who are out doing the actual job themselves. The other half were benefiting in the kitchen, making the food for everyone, making snacks, giving water bottles out, giving the Bibles to the residents. So we do that every July. This year we had 15 crews that were on work sites. They had five paint crews, 6 carpentry, 2 power wash, 1 brush removal, and one other group that was not mentioned to me. So the project this year completed over 51 projects to 33 homes. Over the last 24 years, the project completed 1,450 home repair projects. And I was asked why I would do all these things for strangers. I say it was a calling from Jesus. Jesus shed the light to the residents from us. We were the light for the residents. But other than that, we do this every July, and we are asking for more volunteers, because the more volunteers we get, benefit the residents, and the more jobs we can do at the residents' homes. Thank you.
I'm Cindy, and I'm here to talk about Pine Valley. And I think a lot of you know Pine Valley. It's just a few miles down the road from us. Pine Valley has been around since 1961, so it's been around for a while. And Matt and Sue Reichert, some of you may know them, they took over in 1995 because they wanted to keep that camp a place for young children and youth to be able to come. And they come from broken families, they come from families that can't afford camp, and Pine Valley wanted to provide that for them, to give them a family atmosphere, to give them some fun, and also to come to know the Lord. It's just amazing the impact that Pine Valley has on these young people. And Concord has been a part of that for a long time. We've had many who've gone down and helped them put their newsletters together. We've helped with their log splitting days and cleanup days. And we had a group go down twice this past summer where we went down and helped serve meals and we helped clean up afterwards. And it was a lot of fun just to see the interaction with the kids. And we joined them in chapel and they just, it was amazing feeling and just to see what all was going on with these young people. And also what is really kind of exciting too is we have young people from our own church family like Christian Cater and Noah Fritz who were leaders down there. And we've had numerous other young people who were leaders through Pine Valley as well. And we just want to continue to help support Pine Valley with this amazing ministry that they are doing for these young people who really need a safe atmosphere to go and have fun and to come to know the Lord. So thank you for your support. We really appreciate it and the impact that you have on this wonderful camp. Thank you.
Before I share about the ministries that I'll be talking about this morning, I just wanted to give you an overview of why we're doing this Sunday. If you remember last year, we went to a one fund model with our church called the Ministry Fund. Before that, we had designated funds, but just to kind of streamline our finances, we decided to go with the Ministry Fund. And thank you all for being a part of that. That being said, we don't have the opportunity necessarily to see what we give to missions. And so this Sunday, we want you to know your impact. And missions has not gone away. Missions is alive and well at Concord Church. When you have individuals up here besides Pastor Bud and myself, these are ministries that we actively support with funding and people. And then the ministries that I'll be talking about are largely ministries that we simply have helped to fund. Sometimes there are people involved, but they're just not a lot of people. These aren't everything. And one of the things we talk about around the missions committee table is that we know all of what Concord is doing. And so today is just an attempt to help you know that when you give to God, this is what happens, right? Concord with the Carpenters Project and Pine Valley. And the ministries that I'd like to talk to you about today is Tiger's Den. Tiger's Den is a ministry of Ashes to Life Global Methodist Church. Ashes to Life is in Beaver Falls. And it is primarily a church centered around recovery ministries. And so Tiger's Den is a way then to create a space for young people to come and be discipled. Pastor Luke Whipple, God gave him this vision. And so they're working towards that. And so this is a ministry that we have supported as a church through our missions committee and our missions fund. Hosanna Ministries is another ministry that we have been helping for a long time. We've had a few people participate with them. Hosanna Ministries helps with feeding ministries and emergency housing ministries. And so hopefully we're going to have greater access and greater ability to not just support them financially, but to be a part of them physically as well. And then the last two things, Butler Global Church and Trinity Community Church. Concord has supported both of these new church starts in the Pittsburgh North Circuit. Trinity Community Church recently celebrated 2 years. They were appointed their first pastor in August. Rick Heisel is their pastor now. Last 2 weeks ago, I was at Butler Global for their consecration service. Butler Global was a church that broke away from Butler First, who didn't disaffiliate, remained United Methodist. They started a church. They began much like Trinity, and they began in a Legion Hall, and had the opportunity to buy back their old building, which we helped with. That was something Greg Douglas was a big part of in helping that process. But they were able to buy back their building, and so two Sundays ago, we had a wonderful service celebrating God's continued mercy. And we welcomed that church. So both Butler Global and Trinity Community Church are no longer church plants in our circuit. They are considered full churches. Both have full-time pastors, and Butler Global has a place. Trinity Community is still looking for its final home, and so we can keep that in prayer.
Matthew 25:37-40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
I'm here again. I'm going to talk about Tiger Paws real quickly. We've done many, many years of Tiger Paws help, but this particular one we'll talk about was their summer camp this year. They asked churches from around the area or organizations to take 1 week during their summer camp. We donate $500, and then we also volunteer three people each day for lunch, Monday through Friday, to help serve and prepare the luncheon and then clean up after the lunch. So that's what we did. They did about 150 students. This was their highest amount of kids that came to these summer camps. Every week they do multiple things with them besides their Bible studies, their lunch. They do activities. They take them places at times. But this particular thing that we did this year with our money is we helped with donating time and money. So we did twofold for the Tiger Paws. So I want to thank all those who volunteered this summer during each day there. And also, you'll see this in your bulletin. We met with Matt Nance, the director, last month. He's expanding everywhere. I mean, it's just like he's in Rochester, Murata Dwellings. They're in New Brighton. They're in Beaver Falls. He's buying buildings. And that thus brings more kids being in need. So he has extra special needs, you'll see in your bulletin. Phone number in the bottom right-hand side. If you're willing to volunteer to do any of these, or if you qualify to help out, they are in tremendous need of extra people because of the kids that they are witnessing to and bringing them more to Jesus. Thank you.
Morning, I'm Vicki Caldwell, and I want to talk to you a little bit about CommuniCycle. Our involvement with them started about 3 years ago. Pastor Chris and I were looking for a way to have a bicycle repair program workshop for our Maker's Day camp. So we visited their shop in Monaca. An hour later, we walked out. We were amazed and inspired. What had started as a few guys fixing some bikes for some neighborhood kids has grown into a global ministry of bicycle recycle and distribution collaboration. This organization collects donated bikes, refurbishes them with donated help, and then donates the bikes back to anyone who requests a bike. Just this year, they have distributed probably over 2,500 bikes, not just around our community, but throughout the state, our nation, and even overseas, like the Ukraine. Their passion has also inspired other churches in our area to start similar ministries. Several of our church members have supported CommuniCycle by donating their time at the Monaca workshop fixing bikes. And this shop is not just about repairing bikes to distribute, but they will teach you how to fix your own bike. If you have a broken bike, take it to the shop. They will give you the parts and help you fix it yourself. No previous experience is required, just willing hands and hearts. In 2024, we will actually be able to host our own collection and distribution event in Bethany Hall for members of our community. And this summer, our VBS program collected aluminum cans to donate to Communicycle recycling trailer, as well as donating all of the offering collected during the week. And as a church, we have supported this ministry through our missions giving. This is an excellent organization for a growing family or a small group looking to make a contribution to God's kingdom and enjoying fellowship while doing so. Their workshop schedule at Manaka Shops are Monday through Thursday mornings, 9:30 to 11:30, Tuesday afternoon, 1:30 to 3:30, and Thursday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. And if you have any questions at all about donating or receiving a bike, please feel free to contact me. Thank you.
Along with those ministries, there have been a few others that, again, we've supported primarily through finances or through giving, but not so much with people. And I want to highlight two of those. Summerfest was one that probably very few people know about. Lori Wright was instrumental in getting that one taken care of. But we donated about $1,000 to an event this past summer called Summerfest. And it was an opportunity for a variety of nonprofits to come together and help kids get what they needed to come back to school and be ready for a new school year. And so it was distributed at a sports complex near Aliquippa. And you say to yourself, well, what does $1,000 do? Well, let me just tell you that $1,000 can buy 43 pairs of sneakers, 12 backpacks, 120 pairs of underwear, 14 packages of socks, 87 hygiene products, and 32 winter coats. In total, this program helped to support over 900 kids getting, you know, because of the wide variety of groups that came together and helping them be ready to start a new school year. Along with that, y'all know that every year we support the Lilyville Food Pantry, and that is right around the corner as well. And that is just an opportunity for us to provide needs in our community. And so it's a wonderful ministry for us to serve in. This year, I think it'll be in the next couple weeks here that we'll start that collection. You'll be able to bring in your canned goods like usual, or we're also going to have a We Shop For You program, right? And so if you want to make a financial contribution to that rather than going out and purchasing canned goods, we will purchase those canned goods or dry goods for you and ship those over to Lilyville as we reach the community that is directly around us.
Okay, Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Good morning. Here is a representative of World Vision's Chosen program. Before I get into that, the children that we had were, the Vucic family had, were Ada Yanez, Darling Janizel, and Danny Castro. Before I get into too much of, I guess, how this affected our family, we need to know the why. Why are we doing this? And I'm gonna need some help from our Sunday school class in this, so Kirsten, if you could stand up. What is the truth of the gospel? There's a lot of hearing aids in here. You need to turn around and say that a little bit louder for the cheap seats in the back, please. All right, the first side of that coin, that I am far more sinful than I dare imagine. I don't know why I get emotional when I speak. If the voice cracks, it's I know how pathetic it looks. Please forgive me. I'm trying not to make it about myself. It's just how I speak. I'm sorry. To be transparent with you, I am far more zealous for the things of this world than to see the advancement of the kingdom. To show you how far we've fallen Yeah. To show you how far we've fallen, that doesn't even feel like a controversial statement to make in this room, because I know how much all of us struggle with this. I come into this church, heck, I just told you I teach your Sunday school class, and I don't live out those words that Jesus spoke so often about. Once out of every seven messages, it was like 15% of the time Jesus spoke about money and giving and taking care of others. Some of the verses that stood out to me this, but woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how the ancestors treated the false prophets. That's from Luke 6. John the Beloved spoke of it in this way. This is how we come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brothers or sisters in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. These verses terrify me. These verses terrify me because I see the sin of lust for comfort and esteem in my life. The idols of this world eclipse, they block my view of heaven, and I'm content to live in the shade. Gets better. But before I dwell on this too long and become paralyzed by my shame, the other side of that coin, which is Kirsten, that was perfect. The other half of that blessed truth rings out and gives me hope that is the motivation. That I am far more loved than I ever dared hope for. It's too wonderful for words. God's redemption of the human race, that is so stunning that even the angels long to look into it further. I, you, me, we are members of his family? What? Security in the Father replaces my dependency on my bank account and readjusts my eyes to what truly matters. The two commandments that the law and prophets hang on, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I haven't. I should give more. To bring it back around to, like, what am I talking about here? What I like this chosen program through World Vision, it was an opportunity to do that. I should teach my children to pray for the breaking of chains of generational poverty and how they can be God's hands and feet to be a part of that. And I should be an example of that to the point where my giving affects the kind of car I drive, the frequency with which I eat out at restaurants, the way my family vacations. I lost some of you there because it may hit too close to home. And you didn't like me talking about these comforts that we place above starving children. But don't feel judged, because I lost myself there too. And I most likely won't live out what I say. But there's that shame again. We love to sit in it, but don't sit there. Pray. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Pray that I'll remember to live like there actually is a place called heaven. That I'm actually going to spend more time there than I ever will here. That we'll have the discipline to lessen our comfort here so that there's more waiting on the other side. pray that the idea of Ada, Darling, and Danny would have more of an eternal effect on me and my wife and our children than the temporary effect that the money that we sent over ever could. Dear Lord, save us before we drown in our comfort. So thank you to World Vision and the pastors of this church, although I'm sure they regret it at this point for letting me speak on it, for providing the opportunity for me and my family to sow seed in heaven rather than plow water here on earth. Thank you.
Alex, don't feel bad. You're not the only person in this church that suffers from that condition. Bob McGill knows what I'm talking about. I want to share with you now about Operation Christmas Child. This box represents Operation Christmas Child. It is a missions opportunity through Samaritan's Purse, founded by Billy Graham. Last year, our Christian Education Board decided to use this project to introduce our Sunday school kids to the biblical truth that it is better to give than to receive. These boxes are sent around the world to remote and impoverished children who may have never, ever received a Christmas gift. Each box is filled with school supplies, hygiene items, small toys, and one larger wow item that the kids see as soon as they open the box. Our older kids take the shopping trip on Veterans Day, and they help select the wow gift items that are used in these boxes. The following Sunday, we use our Sunday school time so that the preschoolers through 12th grade can participate in the packing party where the kids pack these boxes. Yes, this takes a little coordination, but it gives our children a physical and an emotional attachment and understanding to helping others. We also offer the rest of our congregation the opportunity to participate in this project as well. In a few weeks, you'll find these red and green boxes sitting on a table where you can sign out a box. Fill it on your own and return it to the church, and we will pay for the package shipping. The labels even have a QR code on it so that your family can scan that and you'll be able to see where your box actually went. Pastor Chris told us of an article he read about a couple that began a correspondence after tracking their box. The Lord eventually led them to the same place at the same time, and their correspondence developed into a romance, and they followed their hearts, and they soon became married. Now that's better than any Hallmark Christmas story that you could watch. So if you would like your family to have this experience this year, that by that I mean the understanding of giving and being a part of a missions committee, not that you're trying to find a spouse for your child, I ask you to consider picking up one of these boxes for Operation Christmas Child. And by the way, Christmas is 81 days away.
Good morning, church. If you don't know me, my name is Jonah Tritt, and in the last 15 months, I was able to go on two mission trips, one to Honduras in July of 2024, and one to North Carolina in July of 2025. I was only 11 when I went to Honduras, and 12 when I went to North Carolina, but both of these experiences have made a huge impact on me. What I enjoyed most wasn't just the projects we worked on, it was building relationships. I especially loved spending time with the kids in both communities. In Honduras, even though I didn't speak the same language, I was still able to play games, laugh, and show kindness. And in North Carolina, I'll never forget being in a restaurant and smiling at a little boy. His mom came up to me and told me he was nonverbal, but the way he lit up when I smiled at him was such a beautiful moment. It reminded me that God's love doesn't need words. Whether we speak the same language or not, his love always translates. Both trips gave me more confidence, and I realized that God can use me no matter my age. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anybody look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity." That verse really speaks to me because even though I'm young, God has shown me that I can serve and make a difference. That's why I'm really excited to go back this November to serve in the same community in North Carolina. I want to challenge all my friends to come too, because when you step out and serve, not only do you make a difference in someone's life, but God changes you as well.
Good morning, church. I also went on the North Carolina mission trip 3 months ago. It was one of the most impactful missions of my entire life. Granted, I only went on one other one, but this year, I got to experience the full week, the knee-deep, the hard work we did to help out the hurricane victims. I can only share one great story this morning out of so many, so the story I'm sharing still sticks with me 3 months later. Just a little background from the first 3 days of the mission. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we went to a house that got demolished by the 40-foot tidal wave caused by the dam break that went through the little town of Relief. Each day, we would continue our projects from the day before. I used a caulk gun and caulked at least half of these house doors, door frames, sinks, beams on the ceiling, really anything that could be caulked, I did it. As well as Brent and I worked on a wooden banister for the upstairs loft. And finally, Pastor Bud and Jonah's stair tread. This thing might have been the death of Pastor Bud and Jonah if they didn't get it on the third try. While doing all of this hard work, we laughed like there was nothing funnier in the entire world. We laughed as much as we worked. But what was making us laugh and work so hard? It was God and the Holy Spirit. We did and said everything to glorify God. None of this was to benefit you or me. It was all God. I still pray that all those people down there saw that. Each and every day we said, "God, this isn't about us. This isn't about how many people we can help. This is about how many people you can help and how we can be your hands and feet and spread your glory and your love." So church, I have two scriptures for you. The first, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10:31. "And whatever you do, work at it with your whole being, for the Lord and not for men." Colossians 3:23. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Right now, Don Streckheisen is in Kazakhstan. This was his third trip to Kazakhstan this year. And talking with Don at one of the missions meeting, he's traveled over 500,000 miles for missions in his lifetime. And I just thought that was incredibly impressive. So we want to pray for Don, and Pastor John and Pat Smith are in Kazakhstan as well. This would probably be John's final mission trip, and I know he's having a lot of fun there. Additionally, the Hoymans go to the Dominican Republic every summer. And so while this may not be a Concord mission trip, these are Concord people who are going and representing our church. More importantly, they're representing Jesus. And so they've been going down there as a family for a number of years, and just wanted to recognize that and celebrate it. If I missed it, I apologize, Jonah and Kirsten, but we also have Rosedale in West Virginia that we've been attending a number of years. And that's often where our youth get their first little taste of missions. And both Jonah and Kirsten, you both have been to Rosedale. Just you, okay. And Kirsten went to then, just continued on. So, just an incredible blessing. And we want to keep that in prayer. And thank you all so much for your impact on God's world.